This is Health Matters with the 11th episode of Taking Charge of Your Health. Conquering addiction is our topic this week, and we're talking all sorts of addiction, not just substance abuse. People can be addicted to gambling, shopping, eating, video games, cell phones, you name it.
Addiction is all about trying to feel good. Its physiology involves the pleasure center of the brain. When this area is activated, the chemical dopamine is released, causing a pleasurable sensation. If substances that cause that release of dopamine are used repeatedly, larger and larger amounts are needed to stimulate its release. That's what drives the addict to use more and more of the substance in question, or to compulsively repeat the addicting behavior.
Some drugs, like methamphetamine, trigger the dopamine reaction very quickly, others less so. Overall, however, individuals show a lot of variability when it comes to what triggers an addiction. One person may be highly vulnerable to gambling, another may be vulnerable to a shopping addiction.
Some people have a genetic predisposition to addiction. There's a specific gene that lowers the brain's ability to perceive dopamine. And here's an interesting fact. Although 25% of the population have this gene, 75% of severe alcoholics have it, and 50 to 80% of those addicted to drugs also have this gene.
People afflicted with ADD, attention deficit disorder, also struggle with substance abuse at some point. So it's no accident that the medications used for ADD raise dopamine levels.
There are natural ways to boost dopamine levels, and exercise is high on the list. Exercise not only boosts dopamine levels, it raises endocannabinoid levels as well. Endocannabinoid is a marijuana-like brain chemical that generates both pleasing and calming feelings. It's believed that endocannabinoids are the cause of runner's high.
Just about everything that is pleasurable in life stimulates the release of dopamine. Being with friends and lovers, sex, relaxing with a good book, listening to music, watching a sunset, collecting baseball cards, really, just about whatever you truly enjoy.
So the trick is keeping dopamine levels in balance. When these levels stay within normal range, we have a sense of well-being.
Both minor and major addiction problems undermine the balance of mind, body, and emotion. Severe addiction destroys the balance. In fact, severe addiction leads to death. Tobacco, for example, is the number one lifestyle-related cause of death in the U.S. Tobacco use killed 100 million people worldwide in the 20th century, and the World Health Organization predicts it could kill 1 billion in the 21st.
Severe addiction often seems incurable, but it isn't. The key is motivation. Take the story of a 36-year-old woman who had been a methamphetamine addict since the age of 12. That's 19 years. She managed to hold down a decent job, but her addiction kept causing problems. The turning point came when she landed in jail and her 18-month-old daughter was taken from her.
This woman wanted her daughter back, and she succeeded in kicking her habit through a combination of medications and running. Obviously, she was in terrible shape when she started. The first couple of months, she could only walk, but then she started running and everything shifted. Eventually, she got her daughter back, and she still runs daily.
There are tried strategies that help with addictive behavior. When it comes to alcohol, people who can't stop drinking usually need intervention, and they need medical help with withdrawal symptoms. They need rehab programs, AA, support groups, the works.
With smoking, the picture is quite different. Although it's really tough to quit, lots of people do manage to stop smoking, and they do it on their own. But you have to really want to quit. Once you decide that, there are strategies that help. Like making a list of reasons why you want to quit, so you can read it when you feel driven to light up. Like telling friends and family you're going to quit. That will bring them on board with needed encouragement and support.
And it helps a lot to be prepared for the consequences, expect mood swings, plan to counter the inevitable down feelings by filling your days with activities you enjoy. Drink plenty of fluids. Drinking fluids helps with the compulsion to put something in your mouth. It also helps to flush the hundreds of different chemicals that smoking has lodged in your body. And last but not least, drinking fluids helps to minimize the urge to nibble on something as a substitute.
Right. Turning to food is common for people who are given up smoking. That's why it's common for them to gain weight. It's not inevitable that you gain weight, but it does mean that you have to be very mindful of diet.
Once again, the crown jewel of strategies is exercise. Exercise is one of the most helpful things you can do to stop smoking, especially vigorous exercise. It reduces stress, elevates mood, minimizes chances of weight gain, and elevates your dopamine levels so you have fewer withdrawal symptoms and cravings.
Lots of people quit smoking by using nicotine replacement therapies and other medication aids. All have advantages and disadvantages, but when you can't stop on your own, these approaches can make the difference. They're worth trying, in which case a physician's oversight is a good idea.
Our dietary focus this week is emotional eating. Here's the question. Why do we eat when we're feeling stressed, frustrated, bored, sad, tired, or lonely? Because it makes us feel better, literally. The brain cannot activate the stress response when you're eating. If you don't gain weight as a result, there's nothing wrong with eating to shift your mood. Trouble is, relying on food to feel better usually adds unwanted pounds.
And then there's binge eating. Big problem. But there's a little formula people can use to try to control emotional eating and binge eating. It's called HALT, which is short for 4 questions to ask yourself when you have an urge to eat or binge. Am I hungry? Am I angry? Am I lonely? Am I tired? If you are honestly not hungry, you know your body craves food for other reasons.
When you are having serious difficulty preventing emotional eating, come up with a plan of action before you have the urge to eat. Then when you're faced with an irresistible urge, do the planned activity, like jumping rope until you're exhausted.
Or you could try something soothing, like taking a walk or a warm bath, or drink a glass of water, slowly. Most important, wait 15 minutes before giving in to the urge. You'd be surprised how that simple step can stop you from indulging. Some people ruin food so they can't eat it. They douse it with water or throw it in the garbage or saturate it with salt.
Whatever works. And that's it for Health Matters. If this is the first episode of Taking Charge that you've listened to, you can find the earlier 10 programs on our website download section.
You can also pick up a copy of our Taking Charge packet at the Kim Yurton Memorial Library, the Kamau Diabetes Management Program, the Tribal NF Recreation Office, the Few Distribution Program, our Humboldt Furnishings.
All audio and more information available on our download area, www.kidefm.org. The Taking Charge series is produced and written for KIDE by Cynthia Potten, engineered by Joseph Orozco. Our readers were Emily Marshall, Joseph Orozco, and Jay Rinzulli. Thank you for listening.